ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्नस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
Welcome back to the live studios here in Govardhan, ISKCON Bhaktivedanta Ashram, with all the ecstatic Vaishnavas, the Govardhan Hill, continuing the Kartik Vrat of reading the Srimad Bhagavatam every day for 5 hours, every day. Well, with a couple of half days here and there for special emergencies. Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 9, we're starting with verse 31, continuing with Prahlad's prayers to Lord Nrsingadev to pacify him. No one else could. Are we going to chant this? Isha bhavang tatonya mayat taratma parabudiriyam tibharta yajyas nidanam stitirakshanadha tadvaitar eva vasukhalavad ashtiturvo. My dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, the entire cosmic creation is caused by you, and the cosmic manifestation is an effect of your energy. Although the entire cosmos is but you alone, you keep yourself aloof from it. The conception of mine and yours is certainly a type of illusion, Maya, because everything is an emanation from you and is therefore not different from you. Indeed, the cosmic manifestation is non-different from you, and the annihilation is also caused by you. This relationship between your lordship and the cosmos is illustrated by the example of the seed and the tree, or the subtle cause and the gross manifestation. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita 7.10, the Lord says, Bijamam sarvabhutanam vidipartha sanatanam, O son of Prita, know that I am the original seed of all existences. In the Vedic literature it is said, Ishavasyam idam sarvam yatova imani bhutani jayante and sarvam kalavidam brahma. And yet is separate from everything. This is the philosophy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is called Achintya Bedha Beda Tattva. Everything is one, the Supreme Lord, yet everything is separate from the Lord. This is the understanding of oneness and difference. The example given in this regard, Vasukhalavad Ashtitarvo, is very easy to understand. Everything exists in time, yet there are different phases of the time factor, present, past, and future. Present, past, and future are one. Every day we experience the time factor as morning, noon, and evening. And although morning is different from noon, which is different from evening, all of them taken together are one. The time factor is the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but the Lord is separate from the time factor. Everything is created, maintained, and annihilated by time, but the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, has no beginning and no end. He is Nityak Shaswata, eternal, permanent. Everything passes through time's phases, past and future, yet the Lord is always the same. Thus there is undoubtedly a difference between the Lord and the cosmic manifestation, but actually they are not different. Accepting them to be different is called avidya, ignorance. True oneness, however, is not equivalent to the conception of the Mayavadis. The true understanding is that the differences are manifested by the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The seed is manifested as a tree, which displays varieties in its trunk, branches, leaves, flowers, and fruits. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has therefore sung, Keshava Tuya Jagata Vichitra. My dear Lord, your creation is full of varieties. The varieties are one and at the same time different. This is the philosophy of Achintya-bheda-tattva. The conclusion given in Brahma-samhita is this: Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Savakarana Karanam. Krishna, known as Govinda, is the Supreme Controller. He has an eternal, blissful, spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin, for he is the prime cause of all causes. Because the Lord is the supreme cause, everything is one with him. But when we consider varieties, we find that one thing is different from another. We may conclude, therefore, that there is no difference between one thing and another. Yet in varieties, there are differences. In this regard, Madhvacharya gives an example concerning a tree and a tree on fire. Both trees are the same, but they look different because of the time factor. The time factor is under the control of the Supreme Lord, and therefore the Supreme Lord is different from time. An advanced devotee consequently does not distinguish between happiness and distress. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.8, Tattuna kampam sushamikshamano bunjana evatmakritam vibhakam. When a devotee is in a condition of so-called distress, he considers it a gift or blessing from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When a devotee is always thus situated in Krishna consciousness, in any condition of life, he is described as muktipade, sadayabhak, a perfect candidate for returning home back to Godhead. The word dayabhak means inheritance. A son inherits the property of his father. Similarly, when the devotee is fully Krishna conscious, undisturbed by dualities, he is sure that he will return home back to Godhead, just as one inherits his father's property. Text 32. Nyasidam atman jagat vilam brahmajai. Shall we do it again all together? We're doing the next verse. Where are you? Jeez. Oh my Lord, it's a time factor. Oh my Lord, oh Supreme Personality of Godhead. After the annihilation of the creative energy is kept in you, who appear to sleep with half-closed eyes, Oh my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, after the annihilation of the creative energies kept in you, I know, but I'm trying to understand the sentence. In you who appear to sleep, okay. O my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, after the annihilation, the creative energy is kept in you, thank you, who appear to sleep with half-closed eyes. Actually, however, you do not sleep like an ordinary human being, for you are always in a transcendental stage beyond the creation of the material world, and you always feel transcendental bliss. As Karnadakashaya Vishnu, you thus remain in your transcendental status, not touching material objects. Although you appear to sleep, this sleeping is distinct from sleeping in ignorance. Purport. As explained very clearly in the Brahma Samhita 5.47, Yakkalananavajalaibhajatismayoga nidram ananta jagad andasaroma kupaha adara shakti navalambya param swamurtim govindam ari purusham tamaham bhajami. I worship the primeval Lord Govinda, who lies down in the causal ocean in his primary portion as Mahavishnu, with all the universes generating from the pores of hair on his transcendental body, and who accepts the mystic slumber of eternity. The Adi Purusha, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, Govinda, expands himself as Mahavishnu. After the annihilation of this cosmic manifestation, he keeps himself in transcendental bliss. The word yoga nidram is used in reference to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One should understand that this nidra, or sleep, is not like our nidra in the mode of ignorance. The Lord is always situated in transcendence. He is Satchidananda, eternally in bliss, and thus he is not disturbed by sleep like ordinary human beings. It should be understood that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is in transcendental bliss in all stages. Srila Madhvacharya concisely states that the Lord is Turyasthita, always situated in transcendence. In transcendence, there is no such thing as Jagalana Nidra Shushupti, wakefulness, sleep, and deep sleep. The practice of yoga is similar to the yoga nidra of Mahavishnu. Yogis are advised to keep their eyes half closed, but this state is not at all one of sleep, although imitation yogis, especially in the modern age, manifest their so-called yoga by sleeping. In the Shastra, yoga is described as dhyanavastita, a state of full meditation. But this is meditation upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Dhyanavastita tadgatena manasa. The mind should always be situated at the lotus feet of the Lord. Yoga practice does not mean sleeping. The mind should always be actively fixed at the lotus feet of the Lord. Then one's practice of yoga will be successful. Text 33. Tasya vitiva pubidam nijakala shaktya sanchodita prakriti dhamana atma gudham ambasya nantashayamat iramat samadhir nabar abut kakhanika padabam mabhabjam. The cosmic manifestation, the material world, is also your body. This total lump of matter is agitated by your potent energy known as Kala Shakti, and thus the three modes of material nature are manifested. You awaken from the bed of Shesha, Ananta, and from your navel a small transcendental seed is generated. It is from this seed that the lotus flower of the gigantic universe is manifested, exactly as a banyan tree grows from a small seed. Purport. The three different forms of Mahavishnu, namely Kalindakshaya Vishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, and Chirdakshaya Vishnu, who are the origin of creation and maintenance, are gradually being described. From Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu is generated, and from Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, Chirdakshaya Vishnu gradually expands. Thus, Mahavishnu is the original cause of Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, and from Garbhadakshaya Vishnu comes the lotus flower from which Lord Brahma is manifested. Thus, the original cause of everything is Vishnu, and consequently, the cosmic manifestation is not different from Vishnu. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 10.8, wherein Krishna says, Aham sarvasya prabhavo mattak sarva bhavartate. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. Garbhadakshaya Vishnu is an expansion of Kalindakshaya Vishnu, who is an expansion of Sankarsana. In this way, Krishna is ultimately the cause of all causes. Sarva karana, karanam. The conclusion is that both the material world and the spiritual world are considered to be the body of the Supreme Lord. We can understand that the material body is caused by the spiritual body and is therefore an expansion of the spiritual body. Thus, when one takes up spiritual activities, one's entire material body is spiritualized. Similarly, in this material world, when the Krishna consciousness movement expands, the entire material world becomes spiritualized. As long as we do not realize this, we live in the material world. Oh, this is so nice. Shall we hear that again? Similarly, in this material world, well, I'll start one sentence before. Thus, when one takes up spiritual activities, one's entire material body is spiritualized. Similarly, in this material world, when the Krishna consciousness movement expands, the entire material world becomes spiritualized. As long as we do not realize this, we live in the material world. But when we are fully Krishna conscious, we live not in the material world, but in the spiritual world. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Text 34. Tatsambhavat kaviratam yapapushyamanas tam bijamat manitatam sapahir vichintya navidhan abdashatam apsimajyamano jatim kure katamakhap parapaita bijam. From that great lotus flower, Brahma was generated. But Brahma certainly could see nothing but the lotus. Therefore, thinking you to be outside, Lord Brahma dove into the water and attempted to find the source of the lotus for 100 years. He could find no trace of you, however, for when a seed fructifies, the original seed cannot be seen. Purport. This is the description of the cosmic manifestation. The development of the cosmic manifestation is like the fructification of a seed. When cotton is transformed into thread, the cotton is no longer visible. And when the thread is woven into cloth, the thread is no longer visible. Similarly, it is perfectly correct that when the seed that is had generated from the navel of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu became manifested as the cosmic manifestation, one can no longer understand where the cause of the cosmic manifestation is. Modern scientists have tried to explain the origin of creation by a chunk theory, but no one can explain how such a chunk might have burst. The Vedic literature, however, explains clearly that the total material energy was agitated by the three modes of material nature because of the glance of the Supreme Lord. In other words, in terms of the chunk theory, the bursting of the chunk was caused by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, one must accept the Supreme Cause, Lord Vishnu, as the cause of all causes. Text 35. Yatvat majon satvat majon ravisham bitim ashmitambla kale nativya tapasat parishuddha bhavaha tvam apmanishya bhuvigandha bhaktam bhutin riyatsha yamane patitam dadasha. Lord Brahma, who is celebrated as Atmayoni, having been born without a mother, was struck with wonder. Thus he took shelter of the lotus flower. And when he had been purified after undergoing severe austerities for many hundreds of years, he could see that the cause of all causes, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was spread throughout his own body and senses, just as aroma, although very subtle, is perceived in the earth. Purport. Here the statement of self-realization, aham brahmasmi, which is interpreted by the Mayavad philosophy to mean, I am the Supreme Lord, is explained. The Supreme Lord is the original seed of everything, janmadyasya yataha, aham sarvasya bhavabho, matak sarvam pavartate. Thus, the Lord extends everywhere, even throughout our bodies, because our bodies are made of material energy, which is the Lord's separated energy. One should realize that since the Supreme Lord spreads throughout one's body, and since the individual soul is a part of the Supreme Lord, everything is Brahman, sarvam kalavidam brahma, sarvam kalavidam, kalavidam, sarvam kalavidam brahma. This realization was achieved by Lord Brahma after he was purified, and it is possible for everyone. When one is completely in knowledge of Aham Brahmasmi, he thinks, I am part of the Supreme Lord. My body is made of his material energy, and I therefore have no separate existence. Yet although the Supreme Lord is spread everywhere, he is different from me. This is the philosophy of Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. An example given in this regard is that of the aroma within the earth. In the earth, there are aromas in colors, but one cannot see them. Actually, we find that when flowers grow from the earth, they appear with different colors and aromas, which they have certainly gathered from the earth, although in the earth we cannot see them. Similarly, the Supreme Lord, by his different energies, spreads throughout one's body and soul, although we cannot see him. Oh, so nice. An intelligent man, however, can see the Supreme Lord existing everywhere. Andam tadasta paramanu charan tadastam. The Lord is within the universe and within the atom by his different energies. This is the real vision of the Supreme Lord for the intelligent man. Brahma, the first created being, became the most intelligent person by his tapasya, austerity, and thus he came to this realization. We must therefore take all knowledge from Brahma, who became perfect by his tapasya.
I'd like to welcome Damodar Vamsudhari Prabhu to the Govardhan Studios. Haribo! Come on, a little more. Let's go. Let's Damodar. Give it up. Give it up here, Govardhan. Really glad you're here. He has to leave early because he has other sevas, so if he heads out, at least you got a chance to look at him. 36. Evam sahasravaranam grishirakuroru nasadya kama mayana bharana yudhadyam maya mayam sarupalakshita sanivesham drishva mahapurusham apamudam barinchaha. Lord Brahma could then see you possessing thousands and thousands of faces, feet, heads, hands, thighs, noses, ears, and eyes. You are very nicely dressed, being decorated and bedecked with varieties of ornaments and weapons. Seeing in the form of Lord Vishnu, your symptoms and form being transcendental, your legs extending from the lower planets, Lord Brahma achieved transcendental bliss. Purport, Lord Brahma, being completely pure, could see the original form of the Lord as Vishnu, having many thousands of faces and forms. This process is called self-realization. Genuine self-realization consists not of perceiving the impersonal effulgence of the Lord, but seeing face to face the transcendental form of the Lord. As succinctly mentioned here, Lord Brahma saw the Supreme Lord as Mahapurusha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Arjuna also saw Krishna in the same way. Therefore, he told the Lord, Param Brahma Param Dhamma Pavitram Paramam Bhavan Purusham Shashvatam Divyam. You are the Supreme Brahman, the ultimate, the supreme abode and purifier, the absolute truth and the eternal divine person. The Lord is the supreme form. Purusham Shashvatam. He is everlastingly the supreme enjoyer. It is not that the impersonal Brahman assumes a form. On the contrary, the impersonal Brahman effulgence is an emanation from the supreme form of the Lord. Upon being purified, Brahma could see the supreme form of the Lord. The impersonal Brahman cannot have hands, cannot have heads, noses, ears, hands, and legs. This is not possible, for these are attributes of the Lord's form. The word maya mayim means spiritual knowledge. This is explained by Madhvacharya. Maya mayam jnana swarupam. That's nice. Maya mayam jnana swarupam. The word maya mayam describing the Lord's form should not be taken to mean illusion. Rather, the Lord's form is factual, and seeing this form is the result of perfect knowledge. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Bahunam jamanam nante gavanam nam pripadyate. The word Gyanavan refers to one who is perfectly in knowledge. Such a person can see the personality of Godhead, and therefore he surrenders unto the Lord. The Lord's being symptomized by a face, nose, ears, and so on is eternal. Without such a form, no one can be blissful. The Lord, however, is Sakchidananda Vigraha. As stated in the Shastra, Ishvara Paramakrishna Sakchidananda Vigraha. When one is in perfect transcendental bliss, he can see the Lord's supreme form, Vigraha. In this regard, Srila Madhvacharya says, Gandakya devata yadvat priti vim vyapyatishtati evam vyaptam jagad vishnum brahmatmastam dadarshaha. The Lord Brahma saw that as aromas and colors spread throughout the earth, the Supreme Personality of God pervades the cosmic manifestation in a subtle form. Text number 37. Tasmai bhavam harashiras tanivam hibibrad vedadrihavati balau madukaita bhakyau hatvana yachchukrikanam sharajastamascha satvantava priyatanam tanum amananti. My dear Lord, when you appeared as Hayagriva with the head of a horse, you killed two demons known as Madhu and Kaitaba, who are full of the modes of passion and ignorance. Then you delivered the Vedic knowledge to Lord Brahma. For this reason, all the great saints accept your forms as transcendental, untinged by material qualities. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead in this transcendental form is always ready to give protection to his devotees. As mentioned herein, the Lord in the form of Hayagriva killed two demons named Madhu and Kaitaba when they attacked Lord Brahma. Modern demons think that there was no life in the beginning of creation, but from Srimad Bhagavatam we understand that the first living creature created by the Supreme Personality of Godhead was Lord Brahma, who is full of Vedic understanding. Unfortunately, those entrusted with distributing Vedic knowledge, such as the devotees engaged in spreading Krishna consciousness, may sometimes be attacked by demons, but they must rest assured that demoniac attacks will not be able to harm them, for the Lord is always prepared to give them protection. The Vedas provide the knowledge by which we can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vedaishcha sarve ahameva vedya. The devotees of the Lord are always ready to spread knowledge by which one may understand the Lord through Krishna consciousness. But the demons, being unable to understand the Supreme Lord, are full of ignorance and passion. Thus the Lord, whose form is transcendental, is always ready to kill the demons. By culturing the mode of goodness, one can understand the position of the transcendental Lord and how the Lord is always prepared to remove all obstacles on the path of understanding him by cultivating goodness. In summary, whenever the Lord incarnates, he appears in his original transcendental form. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 4.7, Yada yada hitanasya gani bhavati bharata abhutanam hitanasya tadatmanam sujamyaham. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice or descent into Bharata and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. It is simply foolish to think of the Lord as being originally impersonal, but accepting a mature body when he appears as a personal incarnation. Whenever the Lord appears, he appears in his original transcendental form, which is spiritual and blissful. But unintelligent men, such as the Mayavadis, cannot understand the transcendental form of the Lord, and therefore the Lord chastises them by saying, Avajananti mam buddha manushim taninashitam. Fools deride me when I descend in the human form. Whenever the Lord appears, whether as a fish, a tortoise, a hog, or any other form, one should understand that he maintains his transcendental position and that his only business, as stated here, is hutva, to kill the demons. The Lord appears in order to protect the devotees and kill the demons. Since the demons are always ready to oppose Vedic civilization, they are sure to be killed by the transcendental form of the Lord. 38. Itam vetirya grishideva jashavatara lokam vibhava yasi hamsa jagat vritipam dhamam mahapurusha pasi yukami vrittam channa kala yadabhavastri yugota sattvam. In this way, my Lord, you appear in various incarnations as a human being, an animal, a great saint, a demigod, a fish, or a tortoise, thus maintaining the entire creation in different planetary systems and killing the demoniac principles. According to the age, O my Lord, you protect the principles of religion. In the age of Kali, however, you do not assert yourself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore you are known as Tri Yuga, or the Lord who appears in three yugas. Purport. As the Lord appeared just to maintain Lord Brahma from the attack of Matu and Kaitabha, he also appeared to protect the great devotee, Prahlad Maharaj. Similarly, Lord Chaitanya appeared in order to protect the fallen souls of Kali Yuga. There are four yugas or millenniums, Satya, Treta, Dwapara, and Kali. In all the yugas but Kali Yuga, the Lord appears in various incarnations and asserts himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who appears in Kali Yuga, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He never asserted himself as such. On the contrary, whenever Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was addressed as being as good as Krishna, he blocked his ears with his hands, denying his identity with Krishna because he was playing the part of a devotee. Lord Chaitanya knew that in Kali Yuga there would be many bogus incarnations pretending to be God, and therefore he avoided asserting himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was accepted as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, however, in many Vedic literatures, especially in Srimad Bhagavatam 11.5.32, Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam Sangopangas Japarshadam Jagnai Sankirtana Prayur Ijantihi Samirasaha. In Kali Yuga, intelligent men worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is always accompanied by his associates such as Nityananda, Advaita, Gadadhara, and Srivasa. The entire Krishna consciousness movement is based on the principles of the Sankirtan movement inaugurated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, one who tries to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the medium of the Sankirtan movement knows everything perfectly. He is Sumedhas, a person with substantial intelligence. 39. Naitam namastava katasvikantanata sampriyate duritadishta masaritivran kamataram hashashaka bayanishamatam tasmin katam tavakatim vimbashamidhina. My dear Lord of the Vaikuntha planets, where there is no anxiety, my mind is extremely sinful and lusty, being sometimes so-called happy and sometimes so-called distressed. My mind is full of lamentation and fear, and it always seeks more and more money. Thus it has become most polluted and is never satisfied in topics concerning you. I am therefore most fallen and poor. In such a status of life, how shall I be able to discuss your activities? Maharaj represents himself as a common man, although he actually has nothing to do with this material world. Prahlad is always situated in the Vaikuntha planets of the spiritual world, but on behalf of the fallen souls, he asks how, when his mind is always disturbed by material things, he can discuss the transcendental position of the Lord. The mind becomes sinful because we are always engaged in sinful activities. Anything not connected with Krishna consciousness should be understood to be sinful. Indeed, Krishna demands in Bhagavad Gita 18.66, Sarvadharmam parityaja mamekam sharanam braja antam sarvapapebhyo mokshayishami nasujaha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reaction. Do not fear. As soon as one surrenders into the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, Krishna immediately relieves one of the reactions of sinful activities. Therefore, one who has not surrendered to the lotus feet of the Lord should be understood to be sinful, foolish, degraded among men, and bereft of all real knowledge because of atheistic propensities. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 7.15. Namam duskritina nidha prapadyante niradhana maya pratagyana asuram bhavamashritaha. Therefore, especially in this age of Kali, the mind must be cleansed, and this is possible only by the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Chaita Tapana Marjanam. In this age, the process of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the only method by which to cleanse the sinful mind. When the mind is completely cleansed of all sinful reactions, one can then understand his duty in the human form of life. The Krishna consciousness movement is meant to educate sinful men so that they may become pious simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Eva Kevalam, Kalai Mustiva, 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 Gati Vanyata. To cleanse the heart so that one may become sober and wise in this age of Kali, there is no value to any method other than the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Prahlad Maharaj has confirmed this process in previous verses. Tadvira Yagayana Maha Mrita Mugna Chittaha. Prahlad further confirms that if one's mind is always absorbed in thought of Krishna, that very qualification will purify one and keep one purified always. To understand the Lord and his activities, one must free his mind from all contamination of the material world, and this one can achieve by simply chanting the Lord's holy name. Thus one becomes free of all material bondage. 40. My dear Lord, O infallible one, my position is like that of a person who has many wives, all trying to attract him in their own way. For example, the tongue is attracted to palatable dishes, the genitals to sex with an attractive woman, and the sense of touch to contact with soft things. The belly, although filled, still wants to eat more, and the ear, not attempting to hear about you, is generally attracted to cinema songs. The sense of smell is attracted to yet another side. The restless eyes are attracted to scenes of sense gratification, and the active senses are attracted elsewhere. In this way, I am certainly embarrassed. Purport. The human form of life is meant for God realization, but this process, which begins with Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, hearing and chanting the holy name of the Lord, is disturbed as long as our senses are materially attracted. Therefore, devotional service means purifying the senses. In the conditioned state, our senses are covered by material sense gratification, and as long as one is not trained in purifying the senses, one cannot become a devotee. In our Krishna consciousness movement, therefore, we advise from the very beginning that one restrict the activities of the senses, especially the tongue, which is described by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur as most greedy and unconquerable. To stop this attraction of the tongue, one is authoritatively advised not to accept meat or similar unedible things, nor to allow unedible or uneatable, uneatable things, nor to allow the tongue to hanker to drink or smoke. Even the drinking of tea and coffee is not permitted. Similarly, the genitals must be restricted from illicit sex. Without such restraint of the senses, one cannot make advancement in Krishna consciousness. The only method of controlling the senses is to chant and hear the holy name of the Lord. Otherwise, one will always be disturbed, as a householder with more than one wife would be disturbed by them for sense gratification.
Text 41. Evam svakam apatitam bhava vaitaranyam anyam janma maranashana bitta bittam pashyam janam saparavigrahvanayana maitram hantiti pachadapaditi buddham adya piprihi mudamadya.
My dear Lord, you were always transcendentally situated on the other side of the river of death. But because of the reactions of our own activities, we are suffering on this side. Indeed, we have fallen into this river and are repeatedly suffering the pains of birth and death and eating horrible things. Now kindly look upon us, not only upon me, but also upon all others who are suffering. And by your causeless mercy and compassion, deliver us and maintain us. Purport. Prahlad Maharaj, a pure Vaishnava, prays to the Lord, not only for himself, but for all other suffering living entities. There are two classes of Vaishnavas, the Bhajanamandis and Goshyanandis. The Bhajanamandis worship the Lord only for their personal benefit, but the Goshyanandis worship and try to elevate all others to Krishna consciousness so that they may be saved. Fools who cannot perceive repeated birth and death and the other miseries of materialistic life cannot be sure of what will happen to them in their next birth. Indeed, these foolish, materially contaminated rascals have manufactured an irresponsible way of life that does not consider the next life. They do not know that according to one's own activities, one receives a body selected from 8,400,000 species. These rascals have been described in Bhagavad Gita as Dushkritina Mudaha. Non-devotees, those who are not Krishna conscious, must engage in sinful activities, and therefore they are mudhas, fools, and rascals. They are such fools that they do not know what will happen to them in their next life. Although they see varieties of living creatures eating abominable things, pigs eating stool, crocodiles eating all kinds of flesh, and so on, they do not realize that they themselves, because of their practice of eating all kinds of nonsense in this life, will be destined to eat the most abominable things in their next life. A Vaishnava is always afraid of such an abominable life, and to free himself from such horrible conditions, he engages himself in the devotional service of the Lord. The Lord is compassionate to them, and therefore he appears for their benefit. Yada yada hidamasya glanya bhavati bharata abhidana madhanasya tadatmanam srajanyaham. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice or descendant in Bharata, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. The Lord is always ready to help the fallen souls, but because they are fools and rascals, they do not take to Krishna consciousness and abide by the instructions of Krishna. Therefore, Krishna, Amara Agyaya Guru Hai Thari Adesh. One should become a guru and spread Krishna consciousness all over the world simply by preaching the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. Text 42. Yo kvatrate kiri guru bhagavan prayasa konvatrake kila guru bhagavan prayasa uttharane se bhavasam bhavalopahita ho mudeshu vai mahadanugraha artabandho O my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, original spiritual master of the entire world, what is the difficulty for you, who manage the affairs of the universe, in delivering the fallen souls engaged in your devotional service? You are the friend of all suffering humanity, and for great personalities, it is necessary to show mercy to the foolish. Therefore, I think that you will show your causeless mercy to persons like us who engage in your service. Purport. Here the words Priya Janan Anusivatam Na indicate that the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is very favorable to devotees who act according to the instructions of his own pure devotee. In other words, one must become the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. If one wants to become the servant of the Lord directly, this is not as fruitful as engaging in the service of the Lord's servant. This is the direction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who shows us the way to become Gopi Bhartu Padakamala Yor Das Adas Anudas. One should not become proud of becoming directly the servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Rather, one must seek a pure devotee, a servant of the Lord, and engage oneself in the service of such a servant. The more one becomes the servant of the servant, the more one becomes perfect in devotional service. This is also the injunction of Bhagavad Gita, evam parampara praptam inamadya chiyoviduhu. One can understand the science of the Supreme Personality of Godhead simply by the parampara system. In this regard, Srila Narottam Das Thakur says, Tandada charana sevi bhakti sanivas. Let me serve the lotus feet of the devotees of the Lord, and let me live with the devotees. Janame janame hai e abhilash. Fellow Narottam Das Thakur, one should aspire to be a servant of the Lord's servant life after life. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur also sings, Tumita Thakura Tomara Kukura Balaya Janahu More. O my Lord, O Vaishnava, please consider me your dog. One must become a dog of a Vaishnava, a pure devotee, for a pure devotee can deliver Krishna without difficulty. Krishna said, Tomara Krishna Ditti Para. Krishna is the property of his pure devotee. And if we take shelter of a pure devotee, he can deliver Krishna very easily. Prahlad wants to engage in the service of a devotee, and therefore he prays to Krishna, my dear Lord, kindly give me the shelter of your very dear devotee so that I may engage in his service and you may then be pleased. Madbhakta pujabjadika. The Lord says, that's Bhagavatam 11:19:21. Madbhakta pujabjadika. 11:19:21. Madbhakta pujabjadika. 11:19:21. Okay, you win. The Lord says, engaging in the service of my devotee is better than trying to engage in my devotional service. Another significant point in this verse is that by devotional service, Prahlad Maharaj does not want to benefit alone. Rather, he prays to the Lord that all of us fallen souls in this material world may, by the grace of the Lord, engage in the servant of his service of his servants, and thus be delivered. I read that. I didn't read that so nicely. Another significant point in this verse is that by devotional service, Prahlad Maharaj does not want to benefit alone. Rather, he prays to the Lord that all of us fallen souls in this material world may, by the grace of the Lord, engage in the service of his servant and thus be delivered. The grace of the Lord is not at all difficult for the Lord to bestow, and thus Prahlad Maharaj wants to save the whole world by spreading Krishna consciousness. Prahlad Maharaj ki. Text 43. Mara Sukaya Bhadan Udbahato Bimudan. O best of the great personalities, I am not at all afraid of material existence. For wherever I stay, I am fully absorbed in thoughts of your glories and activities. My concern is only for the fools and rascals who are making elaborate plans for material happiness and maintaining their families, societies, and countries. I am simply concerned with love for them. Purport. Throughout the entire world, everyone is making big, big plans to adjust the miseries of the material world. And this is true at present, in the past, and in the future. Nonetheless, although they make elaborate political, social, and cultural plans, they have all been described herein as vimudha, fools. The material world has been described in Bhagavad Gita as dukkhalayam, ashaswatam, temporary, and miserable. But these fools are trying to turn the material world into sukhalayam, a place of happiness, not knowing how everything acts by the arrangement of material nature, which works in her own way. Prakriti kramanani vinaikamani sarvasha ahankara vibhudhatma kartaham iti manyate. The bewildered spirit soul, under the influence of the three modes of material nature, thinks himself to be the doer of activities that are in actuality carried out by nature. There is a plan for material nature, personally known as Durga, to punish the demons. Although the asuras, the godless demons, struggle for existence, they are directly attacked by the goddess Durga, who is well equipped with 10 hands, with different types of weapons to punish them. She is carried by her lion carrier, or the modes of passion and ignorance. Everyone struggles very hard to fight through the modes of passion and ignorance and conquer material nature, but at the end, everyone is vanquished by nature's laws. There is a river known as Vaitarani between the material and spiritual worlds, and one must cross this river to reach the other side, or the spiritual world. This is an extremely difficult task. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Vaidyesha Gunamayi Manamaya Duratyaya. This divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. The same word, Duratyaya, meaning very difficult, is used here. Therefore, one cannot surpass the stringent laws of material nature except by the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Nonetheless, although all materialists are baffled in their plans, they try again and again to become happy in this material world. Therefore, they have been described as vimudha, first-class fools. vimudha, especially mudha, first-class fools. As for Prahlad Maharaj, he was not at all unhappy, for although he was in the material world, he was full of Krishna consciousness. Those who are Krishna conscious, trying to serve the Lord, are not unhappy, whereas one who has no assets in Krishna consciousness and is struggling for existence is not only foolish, but extremely unhappy also. Prahlad Maharaj was happy and unhappy simultaneously. I'll read that again. Prahlad Maharaj was happy and unhappy simultaneously. He felt happiness and transcendental bliss because of his being Krishna conscious, yet he felt great unhappiness for the fools and rascals who make elaborate plans to be happy in this material world. Perfect. Text 44. Payena deva munayat sadinukti bhama maunam charanti vijamena palauti mishtaha naritam vihaya vibhanam vimukhasya murkho nanyam pradasya sharanam ramatonu pashye. My dear Lord Nishimadev, I see that there are many saintly persons indeed, but they are interested only in their own deliverance. Not caring for the big cities and towns, they go to the Himalayas or the forest to meditate with vows of silence, Maunavrata. They are not interested in delivering others. As for me, however, I do not wish to be liberated alone. leaving aside all these poor fools and rascals. I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, one cannot be happy. Therefore, I wish to bring them back to shelter at your lotus feet. Prahlad Maharaj ki jai. Purport. This is the decision of the Vaishnava, the pure devotee of the Lord. For himself, he has no problems, even if he has to stay in this material world, because his only business is to remain in Krishna consciousness. The Krishna conscious person can even go to hell and still be happy. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj says, "My vote vijay paradurat yayabaitadanyaha." O best of the great personalities, I am not at all afraid of material existence. The pure devotee is never unhappy in any condition of life. This is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam 6:17:28. Narayana paraksarve nakutaschana bibhyati sarapavaga narakeshu apitulyartadarshinaha. Devotees solely engaged in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, never fear any condition of life. For them, the heavenly planets, liberation, and the hellish planets are all the same. For such devotees are interested only in the service of the Lord. For a devotee, being situated in the heavenly planets and being in the hellish planets are equal. For a devotee lives neither in heaven nor in hell, but with Krishna in the spiritual world. The secret of success for the devotee is not understood by the karmis and jnanis. Karmis therefore try to be happy by material adjustment, and jnanis want to be happy by becoming one with the Supreme. The devotee has no such interest. He is not interested in so-called meditation in the Himalayas or forest, Himalayas. Rather, his interest is in the busiest part of the world where he teaches people Krishna consciousness. The Krishna consciousness movement was started for this purpose. We do not teach one to meditate in a secluded place just so that one may show that he has become very much advanced and may be proud of his so-called transcendental meditation. Although he engages in all sorts of foolish materialistic activity, a Vaishnava like Prahlad Maharaj is not interested in such a bluff of spiritual advancement. Rather, he is interested in enlightening people in Krishna consciousness, because that is the only way for them to be happy. Prahlad Maharaj says clearly, Nayam Tvadasya Sharanam Panato Nipashe. I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, one cannot be happy. One wanders within the universe life after life, but by the grace of a devotee, a servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one can get the clue to Krishna consciousness, and then not only become happy in this world, but also return home back to Godhead. That is the real target in life. The members of the Krishna consciousness movement are not at all interested in so-called meditation in the Himalayas or the forest, where one will only make a show of meditation. Nor are they interested in opening many schools for yoga and meditation. Rather, every member of the Krishna consciousness movement is interested in going door to door to try to convince people about the teachings of Bhagavad Gita as it is, the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. That is the purpose of the Hare Krishna movement. That is the purpose of the Hare Krishna movement. That is the purpose of the Hare Krishna movement. The members of the Krishna consciousness movement must be fully convinced that without Krishna, one cannot be happy. Thus the Krishna conscious person avoids all kinds of pseudo-spiritualists, transcendentalists, meditators, monists, philosophers, and philanthropists. Text 45. In mighty madi griha made sukham mituchjam kandu yamena kadayori vaduka dukam trip yanti meya kripana pahuduka baja kandu tidam manijijam vishaheta diraha. Hari Bhav, Hari Bhav Damodar, Hari Krishna, Hari Krishna, Hari Krishna. Hari Bhavasha. Yes, he's right there. Hari Bhavasha is right here. Hari Krishna. Hari Krishna.
Bhakti Jeremiah. Bhakti Jeremiah's face. Hari Bhavasha.
Hari
Krishna,
Bhakti
Jeremiah.
Hari Krishna. Translation. Sex life is compared to the rubbing of two hands to relieve an itch. Grihamedis, so-called grihastas, who have no spiritual knowledge, think that this itching is the greatest platform of happiness, although actually it is a source of distress. The kripanas, the fools who are just the opposite of brahmanas, are not satisfied by repeated sensuous enjoyment. Those who are dura, however, who are sober and who tolerate this itching, are not subjected to the sufferings of fools and rascals. Purport. Materialists think that sex indulgence is the greatest happiness in this material world, and therefore they make elaborate plans to satisfy their senses, especially the genitals. This is generally found everywhere, and specifically found in the Western world, where there are regular arrangements to satisfy sex life in different ways. Actually, however, this has not made anyone happy. Even the hippies, who have given up all the materialistic comforts of their fathers and grandfathers, cannot give up the sensational happiness of sex life. Such persons are described here as kripanas, misers. The human form of life is a great asset, for in this life one can fulfill the goal of existence. Unfortunately, however, because of the lack of education and culture, people are victimized by the false happiness of sex life. Prahlad Maharaj therefore advises one not to be misled by this civilization of sense gratification, and especially not by sex life. Rather, one should be sober, avoid sense gratification, and be Krishna conscious. The lusty person, who is compared to a foolish miser, never gets happiness by sense gratification. The influence of material nature is very difficult to surpass. But as stated by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, man evagye pripadyante mayanetam tadantite, if one voluntarily submits to the lotus feet of Krishna, he can be saved very easily. In reference to the low-grade happiness of sex life, Yamunacharya says in this connection, yad abhiri mama chetak krishta padara ninde, since I have been engaged in the transcendental loving service of Krishna, realizing ever new pleasure in him, whenever I think of sex pleasure, I spit at the thought, and my lips curl with distaste. Prabhupada said, spite. I spite at the thought. Yamunacharya had formerly been a great king who enjoyed sexual happiness in various ways, but since he later engaged himself in the service of the Lord, he enjoyed spiritual bliss
and hated to think of sex life. If sexual thoughts came to him, he would spit with disgust.
And that brings us to the Gayatri break. We'll be back here at 27 minutes after the hour. Go Premanande Haribo. Chapter 9, text number 46. Mauna vrata shuta tapo dhyayana sudharma vakya raho japa samadaya apavargya prayaparam purushate tvachitindriyanam varta bhavantyanudu vatra tudandikanam. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, there are 10 prescribed methods on the path to liberation. To remain silent, not to speak to anyone, to observe vows, to amass all kinds of Vedic knowledge, to undergo austerities, to study the Vedas and other Vedic literatures, to execute the duties of Vanashrama Dharma, to explain the Shastras, to stay in a solitary place, to chant mantras silently, and to be absorbed in trance. These different methods for liberation are generally only a professional practice and means of livelihood for those who have not conquered their senses. Because such persons are falsely proud, these procedures may not be successful. Purport. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Kechit kevalaya bhaktya vasudeva parayanaha agandhum vantikatsnina viharam iva bhaskara. Only a rare person who has adopted complete unalloyed devotional service to Krishna can uproot the weeds of sinful actions with no possibility that they will revive. He can do this simply by discharging devotional service, just as the sun can immediately dissipate fog by its rays. The real purpose of human life is to attain liberation from material entanglement. Such liberation may be achieved by many methods. Tapasa brahmacha gina shamina cha ramina cha, but all of them more or less depend on tapasya, austerity, which begins with celibacy. Shukadeva Goswami says that those who are Vasudeva Parayana, who have fully surrendered to the lotus feet of Lord Vasudeva Krishna, automatically achieve the results of mana, silence, vrata, vows, and other such methods simply by discharging devotional service. In other words, these methods are not so powerful. If one takes to devotional service, all of them are very easily performed. Mana, for example, does not mean that one should just stop speaking. The tongue is meant for speaking, although sometimes to make a big show, a person remains silent. There are many who observe silence someday in a week. Vaishnavas, however, do not observe such silence. Silence means not speaking foolishly. Speakers at assemblies, conferences, and meetings generally speak foolishly like toads. This is described by Srila Rupa Goswami as Vachavegam. When he wants to say something, can show himself to be a big orator, but rather than go on speaking nonsense, better to remain silent. This method of silence, therefore, is recommended for persons very attached to speaking nonsense. When he is not a devotee, must speak nonsensically, because he does not have the power to speak about the glories of Krishna. Thus, whatever he says is influenced by the illusory energy and is compared to the croaking of a frog. When he speaks about the glories of the Lord, however, has no need to be silent. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommends, Kirtaniya Sada Hari, one should go on chanting the glories of the Lord 24 hours a day. There is no question of becoming mana or silent. The 10 processes for liberation or improvement on the path of liberation are not meant for the devotees. Kevalaya bhaktya, if one simply engages in devotional service to the Lord, all 10 methods of liberation are automatically observed. Prahlad Maharaja's proposal is that such processes may be recommended for the ajitendriya, but those who cannot conquer their senses. Devotees, however, have already conquered their senses. Sarvapati Vinay Muktam Tapratvena Nirmalam. A devotee is already freed from material contamination. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur therefore said, Dushtamano Tumi Kishar Vaishnava Tajishtari Tari Nirja Nira Ghari Tava Nharivam Kevala Kaitabo.
There are many who like to chant the Hare Krishna mantra in a silent, solitary place. But if one is not interested in preaching, talking constantly to the non-devotees, the influence of the modes of nature is very difficult to surpass. Therefore, unless one is extremely advanced in Krishna consciousness, one should not imitate Haridasa Thakur, who had no other business than chanting the holy name always, 24 hours a day. Prahlad Maharaj does not condemn such a process. He accepts it, but without active service to the Lord, simply by such methods, one generally cannot attain liberation. One cannot attain liberation simply by false pride. 47. Rupe ime sadasati tavave rishushte bijankaravihi chanyara rupakasya yutta samaksham upayantra vachan shante tvam yogena hahnimi ivadharushunan yutasyat. By authorized Vedic knowledge, one can see that the forms of cause and effect in the cosmic manifestation belong to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For the cosmic manifestation is his energy. Both cause and effect are nothing but energies of the Lord. Therefore, O my Lord, just as a wise man, by considering cause and effect, can see how fire pervades wood, those engaged in devotional service understand how you are both the cause and the effect. Purport. As described in previous verses, many so-called students of spiritual understanding follow the 10 different methods known as Mana Vrata Shuta Tapo Dhyayana Swadharma Vakya Raho Chapasamadaya. These may be very attractive, but by following such methods, one cannot actually understand the real cause and effect and the original cause of everything, Janaja Sayata. The original source of everything is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, Sarvakarana Karanam. The original source of everything is Krishna, the Supreme Ruler, Ishvara Parama Krishna Sakchirananda Vigraha. He has his eternal spiritual form. Indeed, he is the root of everything, Bijam Nam Sarvabhutanam. Whatever manifestations exist, their cause is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This cannot be understood by so-called silence or by any other hodgepodge method. The supreme cause can be understood only by devotional service, as stated in Bhagavad Gita. Bhaktya mam abhijanati. Elsewhere in Srimad Bhagavatam 11.14.21, the Supreme Godhead personally says, Bhaktya hamikaya kahya. One can understand the original cause of all causes, the Supreme Person, only by devotional service, not by show battle exhibitionism. This is text number 48. Tunvayuragniravaniraviarambhimatra pranindriyami hirayanchidanugrihascha sarvam tvamevasagunavigunascha bhuman nanyatvarasyapimamevachasah niruktam. O Supreme Lord, you are actually the air, the earth, fire, sky, and water. You are the objects of sense perception, the life airs, the five senses, the mind, consciousness, and false ego. Indeed, you are everything, subtle and gross. The mature elements and anything expressed, either by the words or by the mind, are nothing but you. Purport. This is the all-pervasive conception of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which explains how he spreads everywhere and anywhere. Sarvam Kalavidam Brahma. Everything is Brahman, the Supreme Brahman, Krishna. Nothing exists without him. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Mayata Tamidam Sarvam Jagadavyakta Murtinam Matstani Sarva Bhutani Nachahantesha Vastitaha. I exist everywhere, and everything exists in me, yet I am not visible everywhere. The Lord can be visible only through devotional service. Tatra tishtani narada yatra gayanti madbhakta. The Supreme Lord stays only where his devotees chant his glories. 49. Naite gunama gunino mahadadaye ye sare mama papitaya sahadeva martya andyantavanta urugaya vidanti hitam evam vimrishya sudiyo viramanti shaddad. Neither the three modes of material nature, Sattva-gun, Rajagun, and Tamagun, nor the predominating deities controlling these three modes, nor the five gross elements, nor the minds, nor the demigods, nor the human beings can understand your lordship, for they are all subjected to birth and annihilation. Considering this, the spiritually advanced have taken to devotional service. Such wise men hardly bother with Vedic study. Instead, they engage themselves in practical devotional service. Purport, as stated in several places, Bhakti Mam Abhijanati, only by devotional service can the Supreme Lord be understood. The intelligent person, the devotee, does not bother much about the practices mentioned in text 46. Mana Vrata Shuta Tapo Dhyayana Sudharma. After understanding the Supreme Lord through devotional service, such devotees are no longer interested in studies of the Vedas. Indeed, this is confirmed in the Vedas also. The Vedas say, Kim Arta Vayam Adhyeshyamahe Kim Arta Vayam Vakshyamahe. What is the use of studying so many Vedic literatures? What is the use of explaining them in different ways? Vayam Vakshyamahe. No one needs to study any more Vedic literatures, nor does anyone need to describe them by philosophical speculation. Bhagavad Gita 2.52 says, I wonder what part of the Vedas that's from. Says the Vedas say, and it says, don't read the Vedas. Yadate muhakali lambudivat vyati tarishati tadagantasi nirvedam shotavyasya shutasya. When one understands the Supreme Personality of Godhead by executing devotional service, one ceases the practice of studying the Vedic literature. Elsewhere it is said, Aladito yadihadistapasatata kim. If one can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead and engage in his service, there is no more need of severe austerities, penances, and so on. However, if after performing severe austerities and penances, one does not understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, such practices are useless. 50. Tatir hatama namastuti karma puja karma smatish charanayo shavaram katayam samsevaya tvai vineti sharangayakim bhaktim jana paramahamsa katayo labheta. Therefore, O Supreme Lord, the best of all persons to whom prayers are offered, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, because without rendering six kinds of devotional service unto you, offering prayers, dedicating all the results of activities, worshipping you, working on your behalf, always remembering your lotus feet and hearing about your glories, who can achieve that which is meant for the Paramahamsas? Purport. The Vedas enjoin, Nayam Atma Pravachanina Labhya Na Medhaya Na Bahuna Shutena. One cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead simply by studying the Vedas and offering prayers. Only by the grace of the Supreme Lord can one understand him. The process of understanding the Lord, therefore, is bhakti. Without bhakti, simply following the Vedic injunctions to understand the absolute truth will not be helpful at all. The process of bhakti is understood by the Paramahamsa, one who has accepted the essence of everything. The results of bhakti are reserved for such a Paramahamsa, and this stage cannot be obtained by any Vedic process other than devotional service. Other processes such as jnana and yoga can be successful only when mixed with bhakti. When we speak of jnana yoga, karma yoga, and dhyana yoga, the word yoga indicates bhakti. Bhakti yoga or buddhi yoga, executed with intelligence and full knowledge, is the only successful method for going back home, back to Godhead. If one wants to be liberated from the pangs of material existence, he should take to devotional service for quick attainment of this goal. When we speak of jnana yoga, karma yoga, and dhyana yoga, the word indicates bhakti. The great sage Narada said, 51. Oh, I had a reflection.
Reflections. Reflect.
Go ahead. I have a reflection. I liked what it said
since
about...
they're in vogue.
Excuse me?
Reflections are in vogue now.
Oh.
Wait to Marcetti class. He said, I'll take questions or reflections since they seem to be in vogue now.
Yeah, I was thinking about Prahlad Maharaj and how he's simultaneously happy and not happy. That really struck me, because materialistic persons, they can't accommodate opposites as being both true at the same time. And therefore, you can't understand the activities of a pure devotee like Prahlad Maharaj. But it was so clear, Prabhupada said, he's happy because for himself, he can chant Hare Krishna and he's completely happy. But when he sees others suffering, he feels unhappy at the same time.
I like how Srila Prabhupada so emphatically stressed preaching again and again in the purpose.
Yes.
And even up to the point where he said the two verses back, if one does not speak to non-devotees, he'll be influenced by the material modes. The non-devotees will be influenced by the material nature. Eventually. Yes, preaching, speaking about Krishna.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I just was thinking that
it's interesting to me that Prahlad has these sentiments, because this was a much earlier yuga. And, you know, he's naming these people who are going off to the mountains to meditate and so forth. And saying that, you know, we may not be so effective as preaching. But that was a long time ago, when people, you know, a lot of people did go off to the Himalayas and things like that. But still, it was in vogue. He's still thinking that you know, it's better to preach.
It's up to you, right? It's up to you.
What is impressing me that is, like, Prahlada Maharaj is in such a compact and extremely straightforward way, he's offering a paradigm shift which is so radical, and he's not like giving some philosophical deep philosophy, but he's speaking on few levels. Like, he speaks the cause effect, how God is everything, but also he goes to the very the very simple psychology, and he explains exactly what is this paradigm shift, and it's so like, it's like in very few places we see this kind of compact paradigm shift explained in such a clear way. It's like literally like bump. It's extremely impressive, and it's also a very good ground for preaching for us, and we can see this chopping preaching of Prabhupada where it comes from, like in the our old Sampradaya. It's there, Prabhupada Maharaj and Narada Muni and everybody. It's not new thing. But of course, Narada Muni, sometimes he is giving allegorical stories and all kinds of things, always finding way, but sometimes he's like really.
What is that paradigm shift?
From sense gratification. Like, he's explaining how being absorbed in sense gratification is really like animal's business, and turning everything so that actually the same way we serve our body and our co-wives, like the mind and the senses, the same way we should serve the master of the senses, the Krishna, who is the source of everything and the soul of the soul and the soul of the Sarvatma of everything, which we heard.
Like the Kala Shakti, how it's described as one of the Lord's energies, but it's the Lord's not affected by it, and how it's imperceptibly just taking away our life.
I really like that point. Well, Prahlad Maharaj is going into this topic of that we have to preach, and it reminded me of that thing that you said, Prabhu, about how it's not easy even for the pure devotees to go out and preach to the conditioned souls, because there's such an emotional toll. But Prahlad Maharaj is he's willing to do that, the elevated souls are willing to go through that for saving, out of compassion. Correct. That's my point. Correct.
Prabhupada said that illicit sex life is for fools, and for the Dita that they don't engage in that. That was very nice right before he broke. That was very good. I needed to hear that.
Yeah, the first law.
Tapasya is celibacy. That's the foundation of the whole thing.
Continuing.
The great sage, this is text 51. We're now finished with the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj. Now we're going back to the narration. Narada Muni is speaking to Yudhishthir Maharaj, this whole story. The great saint Narada said, "Thus Lord Nrisimhadev was pacified by the devotee Prahlad Maharaj with prayers offered from the transcendental platform. The Lord gave up his anger in being very kind to Prahlad, who was offering prostrated obeisances. He spoke as follows." Purport. The word nirguna is important. The Mayavadi philosophers accept the absolute truth as nirguna or nirakar. The word nirguna refers to one who possesses no material qualities. The Lord, being full of spiritual qualities, gave up all his anger and spoke to Prahlad. Text 52. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "My dear Prahlad, most gentle one, best of the family of the Asuras, all good fortune unto you. I am very much pleased with you. It is my pastime to fulfill the desires of all living beings, and therefore you may ask from me any benediction you desire to be fulfilled." Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is known as Bhaktavatsala, the Supreme Personality, who is very much affectionate to his devotees. It is not very extraordinary that the Lord offered his devotee all benedictions. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, in effect, "I fulfill the desires of everyone. Since you are my devotee, whatever you want for yourself will naturally be given. But if you pray for anyone else, that prayer will also be fulfilled." Thus, if we approach the Supreme Lord or his devotee, or if we are blessed by a devotee, naturally, we will automatically achieve the benedictions of the Supreme Lord. Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasadat. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says that if one pleases the Vaishnava spiritual master, all of one's desires will be fulfilled. Text 53. "My dear Prahlad, may you live a long time. One cannot appreciate or understand me without pleasing me, but one who has seen or pleased me has nothing more for which to lament for his own satisfaction." Can I read that again? "My dear Prahlad, may you live a long time. One cannot appreciate or understand me without pleasing me, but one who has seen or pleased me has nothing more for which to lament for his own satisfaction." Purport. One cannot be happy under any circumstances unless one pleases the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But one who has learned how to please the Supreme Lord need no longer lament for his material condition. 54. "My dear Prahlad, you are very fortunate. Please note for me that those who are very wise and highly elevated try to please me in all different modes of mellows, for I am the only person who can fulfill all the desires of everyone." Purport. The word dirak sarvabhavina do not mean in whichever way you like. Bhava is the preliminary condition of love of Godhead. Bhavas tatak prema vyadantiti sadhakanam mayam prema pradu bhave bhavat kramaha. The bhava stage is the final division before one reaches love of Godhead. The word sarva bhava means that one can love the Supreme Personality of Godhead in different transcendental modes of mellows, beginning with Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya. In the Shanta stage, one is on the border of loving service to the Lord. Pure love of Godhead begins from Dasya and develops to Sakya, Vatsalya, and then Madhurya. Still, in any one of these five mellows, one can render loving service to the Supreme Lord. Since our main business is to love the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can render service from any of the above-mentioned platforms of love. Text 55. Narada Muni said, Prahlad Maharaj was the best person in the family of Asuras. Narada Muni said, Prahlad Maharaj was the best person in the family of Asuras. Prahlad Maharaj said, Prahlad Maharaj said, I'm getting all confused. Narada Muni said, Prahlad Maharaj was the best person in the family of Asuras who always aspire for material happiness. Nonetheless, although allured by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who offered him all benedictions for material happiness, because of his unalloyed Krishna consciousness, he did not want to take any material benefit for sense gratification. Purport. Pure devotees like Prahlad Maharaj and Dhruva Maharaj do not aspire for any material benefit at any stage of devotional service. When the Lord was present before Dhruva Maharaj, Dhruva did not want to take any material benefit from the Lord. Swamin kritar tosmi varam najache. As a pure devotee, he could not ask the Lord for any material benefit. In this regard, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed us, Nadanam najanam nasundarim kavitam vada gadisha kamaye namajan mani janmarishware bhavatad bhakti rahaita kitvaye. O my Lord Jagadish, I do not pray for benedictions by which to achieve material wealth, popularity, or beauty. My only desire is to serve you. Kindly engage me in the service of the servant of your servant. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports to the seventh canto, ninth chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Prahlad Pacifies His Lord Nrisimhadev with Prayers. Continuing with the 7th canto, 10th chapter, Prahlad, the best among exalted devotees. Text number 1. The saint Narada Muni continued, although Prahlad Maharaj was only a boy, when he heard the benedictions offered by Lord Nrisimhadev, he considered them impediments on the path of devotional service. Thus he smiled very mildly and spoke as follows. Purport. Material achievements are not the ultimate goal of devotional service. The ultimate goal of devotional service is love of Godhead. Therefore, although Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, Ambarish Maharaj, Yudhishthira Maharaj, and many devotee kings were materially very opulent, they accepted their material opulence in the service of the Lord, not for their personal sense gratification. Of course, possessing material opulence is always fearful, because under the influence of material opulence, one may be misdirected from devotional service. Nonetheless, a pure devotee, anya abhilashita shunyam, is never misdirected by material opulence. On the contrary, whatever he possesses, he engages 100% in the service of the Lord. When one is allured by material possessions, they are considered to be given by Maya. But when one uses material possessions fully for service, they are considered God's gifts, or facilities offered by Krishna for enhancing one's devotional service. 2. Prahlad Maharaj said, My dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, because I was born in an atheistic family, I'm naturally attached to material enjoyment. Therefore, kindly do not tempt me with these illusions. I'm very much afraid of material conditions, and I desire to be liberated from materialistic life. It is for this reason that I have taken shelter of your lotus feet. Purport, materialistic life means attachment to the body and everything in relationship to the body. This attachment is based on lusty desires for sense gratification, specifically sexual enjoyment. When one is too attached to material enjoyment, he is bereft of all knowledge. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, those who are attached to material enjoyment are mostly inclined to worship the demigods to procure various material opulences. They are especially attached to worship the goddess Durga and Lord Shiva, because this transcendental couple can offer their devotees all material opulence. Prahlad Maharaj, however, was detached from all material enjoyment. He therefore took shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Nrsimhadev and not the feet of any demigod. It is to be understood that if one really wants release from this material world, from the threefold miseries and from janma mritti jara vyadhi, birth, death, old age, and disease, one must take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For without the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one cannot get release from materialistic life. Atheistic men are very much attached to material enjoyment. Therefore, if they get some opportunity to achieve more and more material enjoyment, they take it. Although born of a materialistic father, because he was a devotee, he had no material desires. Anyabhilashita shunyam. Text 3. O my worshipable Lord, because the seed of lusty desires, which is the root cause of material existence, is within the core of everyone's heart, you have sent me to this material world to exhibit the symptoms of a pure devotee. Purport. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu has given considerable discussion about Nitya Siddha and Sadhana Siddha devotees. Nitya Siddha devotees come from Vaikuntha to this material world to teach, by their personal example, how to become a devotee. The living entities in the material world can take lessons from such Nitya Siddha devotees and thus become inclined to return home back to Godhead. A Nitya Siddha devotee comes from Vaikuntha upon the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and shows, by his example, how to become a pure devotee. Anyabhilashita shunyam. In spite of coming to this material world, the Nitya Siddha devotee is never attached by the allurements of material enjoyment. A perfect example is Prahlad Maharaj, who was a Nitya Siddha, a Mahabhagavata devotee. Although Prahlad was born in the family of Hiranyakashipu, an atheist, he was never attached to any kind of materialistic enjoyment. Desiring to exhibit the symptoms of a pure devotee, the Lord tried to induce Prahlad Maharaj to take material benedictions, but Prahlad Maharaj did not accept them. On the contrary, by his personal example, he showed the symptoms of a pure devotee. In other words, the Lord himself has no desire to send his pure devotee to this material world, nor does the devotee have any material purpose in coming. When the Lord himself appears as an incarnation within this material world, he is not allured by the material atmosphere, and he has nothing to do with material activity. Yet by his example, he teaches the common man how to become a devotee. Similarly, a devotee who comes here in accordance with the order of the Supreme Lord shows by his behavior, by his personal behavior, how to become a pure devotee. A pure devotee, therefore, is a practical example for all living entities, including Lord Brahma. Text 4. Otherwise, O my Lord, O Supreme Instructor of the entire world, you are so kind to your devotee that you could not induce him to do something unbeneficial for him. On the other hand, one who desires some material benefit in exchange for devotional service cannot be a pure devotee. Indeed, he is no better than a merchant who wants profit in exchange for service. Purport. It is sometimes found that one comes to a devotee or a temple of the Lord just to get some material benefit. Such a person is described here as a mercantile man. Bhagavad Gita speaks of arta jignasur artarti. The word arta refers to one who is physically distressed, and artarti refers to one in need of money. Such persons are forced to approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead for mitigation of their distress or to get some money by the benediction of the Lord. They have been described as sukriti, pious. because in their distress or need for money, they have approached the Supreme Lord. Unless one is pious, one cannot approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, although a pious man may receive some material benefit, one who is concerned with material benefits cannot be a pure devotee. When a pure devotee receives material opulences, this is not because of his pious activity, but for the service of the Lord. When one engages in devotional service, one is automatically pious. Therefore, a pure devotee is anyabhilashita shunyam. He has no desire for material profit, nor does the Lord induce him to try to profit materially. When a devotee needs something, the Supreme Personality of Godhead supplies it. Yogakshemam baham yaham. Sometimes materialists go to a temple to offer flowers and fruit to the Lord because they have learned from Bhagavad Gita that if a devotee offers some flowers and fruits, the Lord accepts them. In Bhagavad Gita 9:26, the Lord says, Patram pushpam palam to yam yome bhaktya prachati taraham bhakti bharitam ashnami paritat manaha. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, I will accept it. Thus a man with a mercantile mentality thinks that if he can get some material benefit, like a large amount of money, simply by offering a little fruit and flour, this is a good business. Such persons are not accepted as pure devotees. Because their desires are not purified, they are still mercantile men, even though they go to temples to make a show of being devotees. Savapati vinaya muktam tapratti nirmalam. Only when one is fully freed from the material desires can one, be purified. And only in that purified state can one serve the Lord. Rishikena, Rishikesha, Sevanam Bhakti Uchite. This is the pure devotional platform. 5. A servant who desires material profits from his master is certainly not a qualified servant or pure devotee. Similarly, a servant who desires material profits from his master is certainly not a... Certainly. It must have the combination of syllables that says Siri. A servant who desires. Right?
Yeah.
A servant who desires. A servant who desires material profits from his master is certainly not a qualified servant or pure devotee. Similarly, a master who bestows benedictions upon his servant because of a desire to maintain a prestigious position as a master is also not a pure master. Purport. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Siri, Kamaistaisteri jnana prabhadyante nyadevata. Those whose minds are distorted by material desires surrender unto demigods. A demigod cannot become master, for the real master is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The demigods, to keep their prestigious positions, bestow upon their worshippers whatever benedictions the worshippers want. For example, once it was found that an asura took a benediction from Lord Shiva, by which the asura would be able to kill someone simply by placing his hands on that person's head. Such benedictions are possible to receive from the demigods. If one worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead, however, the Lord will never offer him such condemned benedictions. On the contrary, it is said in the Bhagavatam 10.88.8, Yasyahamanagrinami harishe taddanam shanai. If one is too materialistic but at the same time wants to be a servant of the Supreme Lord, the Lord, because of his supreme compassion for the devotee, takes away all his material opulences and obliges him to be a pure devotee of the Lord. Prahlad Maharaj distinguishes between the pure devotee and the pure master. The Lord is the pure master, the supreme master, whereas an unalloyed devotee with no material motives is the pure servant. One who has materialistic motivations cannot become a servant, and one who unnecessarily bestows benedictions upon his servant to keep his own prestigious position is not a real master. Take a couple of reflections. Yes, Prabhu?
Hare Krishna. So, I have two, that's okay.
Okay. Because you've been so quiet over there for so long.
So the,
you saved him up.
Going back to the previous chapter. Prahlad, may you long time, one can appreciate or understand me without pleasing me. But one who has seen or pleased me has nothing more for which to lament for his own satisfaction. So, Maharaj read this verse twice, and then it was just dawning on me just how, you know, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Manvana Bhavamat Magto, just worship me. And then I was understanding how this is how we'll be able to understand and actually see Krishna. So that's why when people come up and they say, you know, I don't believe in God, why don't you just do some service for him, and then you'll see, you'll believe in him. You'll understand that he's real. And Prabhupada would ask one time in the videos, following Srila Prabhupada, he said, how do you know Krishna is real? And one devotee finally said the answer, because I can feel him. So I was just being reminded of that and doing service to Krishna.
Charivaita Maharaj showed in the class this morning about people say, can you show me God? And he said, can you show me time? Second one?
And then the second one was, we just quoted this verse in the purport, 1088. I had one experience on book distribution where this gentleman came up and he was saying, my sister took my money. You know, he was like down on himself. And I pulled up this verse and I showed it to him. And he's like, oh my God. So God actually likes me. He's taking the money away. He took the verse and he posted it on his Facebook, and he actually took a book also. And then when he comes by now, the Hari Nam, he says, thank you for showing me that verse. It really changed my life.
And this baby took the caddy, left me the mule to ride. What else? Yes.
First, last one we just discussed, covered about how people go to the temple to do business with God.
Can I hold that close?
How people go to worship God, and like as merchants, they want to offer a few little things or put a little donation in the box and expect so much back from God, like a merchant.
Yeah.
The last thing struck me that, you know, If a master bestows benediction upon his servants to keep his own prestigious position, he's not a real master.
Hmm.
In other words, it's not the master's duty to keep himself in a position where everybody treats him like a master so that he can be prestigious.
Not very good. Better get it fixed. Two minutes.
Nrsingadev said, it is my pastime to fulfill the desires of the living entities. And I remember the verse also in one prayers of Shani in a Puranic text where he says the same thing. It's my pastimes to fulfill the desires of the devotees. I just found it interesting how Nisimhadev says that.
Well, especially he wants to fulfill the desires of his devotees, but the devotees won't accept anything. And so if another person serves that devotee, is able to render service, then Krishna becomes most pleased. That's why it's best to be the servant of the servant, the pure devotee, because then you're fulfilling what Krishna actually wants to do, but the devotee, that particular devotee won't accept it from Krishna. But if he takes it from you, Krishna gives special mercy. Last one? Yeah, Mukhadarvind. Mukhadarvind, okay, back in the control room. He did his apprenticeship yesterday, and now he's taken over the whole show. How do you go?
But one reflection and one question I have. Reflection is that I think in one of the verses we tried that one who knows how to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead can remain happy in all the condition. It was mentioned, and I was just seeing that I'm living with Gopal Prabhu, and then he just morning wakes up and offer his Saligram Puja. I see that it's so satisfaction, and he knows that how to be happy because he knows how to serve Krishna with attachment. So
yeah, I told him when I saw him
yeah.
that the other Gopal, right? You don't have shalagrams, right? Okay. He was busted. He was busted. I told Gopal when I saw him yesterday, I said, you're living the, or maybe it was this morning, I said, you're living the life.
Yeah.
You know, he sent me a picture from the Radha Govinda Mangal Artik up in Jaipur, and then back and forth to Vrindavan. What a blessed life one to live. He's worship the deity, bring Mahaprasadam here and there, go to this temple, that temple. It's very, very auspicious.
And the question is that the last verse that is mentioned that Master should not just sow benediction, bestow benediction. So
material benediction, really.
Okay. Because I saw many times people come to you and it's a personal question, and whenever they ask you, you pray for them. So what is your inner consciousness when you pray for them? I've seen many times they, for various reasons they come. It may be sometimes seems maybe job, it maybe seems something that they are...
Swamiji, give me blessings. Blessing is the instruction. Chant Hare Krishna. Stop engaging in sense gratification.
Well, many of the times I'm thinking that if they have what they need, then they can be feel satisfied and productive. To and so, especially like say in Silicon Valley, some of the devotees there are so advanced and pure devotees. You know, sometimes people come and say, "What about this? What about that?" The reason they have anxiety about their job or whatever is because they don't want to be disturbed in their service, really. And so, you know, when I say something like, you know, pray to Srila Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya that I get a job where you work half as much and work twice, get twice as much money, then I'm thinking, you know, like, well, they can do more service, and that's what they're thinking too. So I think that those are we're building our group.
We just heard that, actually. It was one of the purports that if someone gets a material benediction or some material facility and uses it for saints' gratification, that that's sent by Maya. And if one uses it in Krishna service, that's given to him by Krishna, a gift by Krishna.
Okay, good.
Thank you so much.
Okay. And you had one last point?
Like Bhagavad Brahman, who wasn't able to read Bhagavad Gita, but he was crying because he was visualizing Krishna and Arjuna, how Krishna is becoming part of Sarati. And like he just observing how Prahlada Maharaj is having this dialogue with Narasimhadev, it's very so sweet. They talk about the Narasimhadev is saying some things and Prahlada Maharaj is responding and back and forth, and they have this sweet time together. It's like it's super sweet to meditate on this, even without understanding what they talk about. It just seeing the whole thing is very sweet.
Very sweet. Thank you. We'll end on that sweet note. Gopinanda Nityagora Haribo 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 Nityagora Haribo Nityagora Haribo Haribo Nityagora Haribo. Vanchakalpita Vishya Kripasana Vichapatitanam Pavanibhya Vaishnavibhya Namanaman Hare Krishna.
Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman. Hey! Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman.